Jim Fox, let's talk about this team. And to me, resiliency is the number one thing that I'm just absolutely amazed at. I mean, this is very, very unusual to have a team come back from the first round, the second round, be three straight games give up, and now they're doing it in a different way on the scoreboard to come from behind against Chicago Hawks team that doesn't do that. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that they're built that way. I think that the Kings are a marathon team. They're not a sprint team. I think that is the makeup. I think that's the identity. I think that's been the way it has been since Dean Lombardi took over, to look for mental toughness, perhaps over physical skill. And I think overall size factor, those types of things. It's never that simple because you have to have skill, and the Kings do, and the Hawks have will. But if you label the teams, the Kings are will and the Hawks are skill. And there's always that battle to see who's going to figure out how to win the game in the end. But it is a difficult task, but I think that the Kings are built to wear you down. So sometimes early, one team's going to have an advantage. And if things go according to plan, the Kings will come back late.
You took the words out of my mouth. Wear you down. I'm thinking, can you compare it to football, where maybe a more physical team may not be doing much throughout the game, but by the end of the game, they're sort of dominating?
We don't see it as much anymore in football, but it's the old ground game versus the passing game.
Yep.
And now it's all passing in the NFL, but at least that's the way it seems. But that was it. You know, part of the Kings' attitude is a little bit more conservative than most. So have the ground game. Keep control of the ball. Keep control of the puck. Kings are the best puck possession team in the NHL. Are they going to dazzle you? Yeah, Jeff Carter will every once in a while. Tyler Toffoli, Andre Kopp. But overall, Gabrick. Now, they do have a few more of those guys now than they've had in the past. At the same time, they have not gotten away from their identity, which is, if I don't make a mistake, the other team's not going to do much with it. And by the end of the game, the Kings are normally in that game. And the odds say, if you're in a lot of games, you know, Tiger Woods says all the time, I just want to be in it. Just want to be in it. You get a chance to win, and you win it.
Okay, so from an offensive standpoint, this was a team going into the playoffs, the lowest scoring team, and now they're the highest scoring team. So how does that happen?
Well, there was a very precise, well-thought-out addition in Marion Gabrick. And a lot of thought went into that. I talked to Dean Lombardi about it again. And even beginning of the season, and I've talked to Dean about it, the biggest challenge for the Kings was to maintain their identity but still get quicker and faster. And sometimes you get quicker and faster, it takes away from that, you know, grind it out, wear you down mentality. They've done a good job. And then they got to the point where they needed that ingredient. They needed more offense. They needed more skill. And they got it. Then all of a sudden, you know, you bring up a couple kids or the kids get more ice time, and now you're making a transition. So a transition has been made without losing the attitude. The attitude is number one. We were just talking with Daryl Sutter, and he said we talk about attitude every day. Yeah, I'm sure they talk about X's and O's. I'm sure they talk about power play, penalty kill. But they talk about the head, how to keep that head ready to play the next game. And right now it's pretty safe to say that they do that as well as anyone.
So did you see what's happened with the two kids and Carter at all? I mean, they have just clicked beautifully, haven't they?
Maybe not necessarily that combination. But, for instance, Jack Farrar, who's an assistant to Dean Lombardi, he's been talking about Toffoli and Pearson for quite a while. And Lyndon Vay, who, unfortunately for Lyndon, the position doesn't fit him. You've got Kopitar, you've got Carter, you've got Stoll, you've got Richards. That's tough to crack into. But we kind of had an inkling through Jack that these players were ready. And now the combination of that 70 show, that 70 line, is... Not necessarily we didn't know about it, but I think if anyone deserves credit, it is Jeff for being so adaptive.
Yeah.
You know, change. You know, he's played center before, but, you know, the center position involves more responsibility. You're the first man back in the defensive zone. There's a lot of things, face-offs, all those things, and Jeff has adapted his game. And without that line, the Kings wouldn't be where they are right now. But it is the biggest difference this year compared to last year.
And how has Carter developed into the, not just the player he is? We always knew he could score and his skill level, but he's changed. His work ethic is totally different. His demeanor on the ice is different than it was in the past. And a lot of people doubted him for many reasons that were, that were fair. And all of a sudden, he's become a totally different guy.
Well, I think it might have been his second camp here, or maybe his first camp, because it was a year after
right.
We finally got a chance to see his results in training camp as far as the fitness testing goes, and he is right at the top. And that's when you start to understand that maybe his style is a little bit more the pretty boy skilled stuff, but then you get those numbers, and you say, okay, this guy works his butt off. So and now you get a different appreciation. Now, in all honesty, I didn't see him a lot in the Eastern Conference.
Right.
He is a way better skater than I ever thought he was. I thought he was a release man, get the puck, shoot.
Right.
I'm going to get in the open up. No way. This guy can skate with anyone. He has such a graceful style that you don't pick up the energy because it's fluid. But then all of a sudden he's on top of you or by you.
Right.
Very interesting. But again, going to center, that involves a lot more focus and responsibility on the defensive sides of things, and I don't think anyone ever talked about Jeff in that realm before, and now that's exactly what they're talking about.
And one phrase I continue to use about this team is they're built for the playoffs. Some people think that that's ridiculous. I want to know what you think, because I think whatever they do during the regular season, part of it's wear down, part of it's whatever. I think they're a playoff-built team from a depth and a size and a style standpoint.
It is a difficult concept to understand because you've got to get there first. And in the Western Conference, it's very difficult to just get to the playoffs. So it's not a button or a switch that you flick. That's not the case. It is, though, as you're telling, it's a foundation. It's a blueprint. It's something that you're looking for. You know, let's face it, in the playoffs, things do get more physical, and they do get a touch more conservative as far as approaches go. So if you build your team that way, from the get-go, when the playoffs come around, they don't have to change a lot.
Right.
And when you don't have to change, then you're more comfortable in that situation, and you have more trust in that situation. And that's where the Kings are right now, that trust factor. And the biggest thing that sticks out to me, and I, you know, they haven't won yet this year. They won 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. But when they won 2 years ago, it was, and I know John Wooden used it as one of his tenets that he believed in, if no one cares who gets the credit, you can get a lot of success.
Right.
And no one here cares who gets the credit. They do not care at all who got the goal. They don't care. They do not care. They just care at the end of the night. They add up the totals and they win and they go to the next one.
And how unusual is that? I mean, you've played on a lot of teams.
It's back to the foundation. It is back to Dean Lombardi and his staff and Daryl Sutter and his staff selecting players that they feel may not necessarily. You want as much skill as possible, but the strength of that player, and that player is known for more of the mental aspect of the game.
And character, too?
How they're going to apply themselves, right. And yes, that's what it is. Now, again, you need the skill, and again, it's not as simple as, it's not black and white, but they do, if they're leaning one way, they lean towards character as opposed to skill, and in the long run, they feel that's going to win out.
So do you feel that this team is similar in that respect to the one that won the Cup a couple of years ago?
I think it is exactly the same. I think that's what won them that before. I think there are different personnel now.
Yep.
I think that the way they're doing it, even, for instance, the year they won the Cup, for the first three rounds, they dominated games.
Yeah.
And then the first couple of games in against New Jersey, the puck possession at times was 70-30. Last year, it was all Jonathan Quick to me. I mean, they got to the Western Conference Final again, but they were not dominating teams. This year, it's a little bit more in between now. And I do sense more offensive balance with this team than was there even, you go back a couple years ago, it was, Kopitar and Brown took over in the playoffs. Now it just seems like it's being passed around a little bit. It's being shuffled around a little bit more. And you can always use that because the other team is, put in a position where if they're going to match things and they're going to try to find something that works for them, it's more difficult to find.
By the way, speaking of the captain, there's something special about him that a lot of people don't talk about. I mean, he's leading the playoffs in hits by far. I mean, there's not anybody in the same universe. And that's a huge factor for this team. He sets the tone, doesn't he?
Well, and again, it might be part of, and maybe a big part of that, well, maybe the Kings in the first 100 meters aren't doing it, but in the last 100 meters of a 400-meter race, they're doing it because they spend time like Dustin does getting a piece of you, knocking you down, running into you, you know, disrupting that pass, follow through on the check, and then it just becomes a grind. And he is the leader that way. There is no question. If you're another team's defenseman, you're really looking for him all the time because he can really nail you. And he is nonstop. And let's face it, this year it's probably he looks around and he sees a little bit more skill around him. And he says, okay, I can go out and be that guy now, right, or I can just nail him. And that's expending a lot of energy. And maybe less energy left out for scoring. But again, around him, he feels like there's more scoring. So that's his role right now.
And as an opposing player, how much do you look like over your shoulder? Like, where is Dustin?
Well, he's talked about. There's no question he's talked about. I think that, you know, again, there's a contrast. There's a lot of contrast in the series against Chicago.
Right.
Chicago is probably the least hitting team in the league. But there's defending Stanley Cup champions. You can be effective if you can execute and do it that way.
Well, their speed is the counteraction.
Their speed is what it does. They get on top of you. They make you feel uncomfortable. At times, when they're on their game, you think you're playing against six and seven guys out there at the same time. They're not running into you, but they're taking away your options because of the legs. They get there. They get a stick on things. They don't get a body. They get a stick. They disrupt. And then all of a sudden, that pace is turned around, and you're done. But, again, the Kings are able to play their game. Everyone wants that. Everyone is fighting to play their game. Well, with the Kings, it is a contrast. They're trying to be physical, and Chicago's trying to be fast.
And we always talk about special teams, and special teams right now is everything, it seems like, in this series.
It's the difference so far in this series because I think 5-on-5, the Kings are comfortable playing anyone. And maybe in the past, the special teams numbers in the regular season, they're not where they need to be. Well, now the penalty kill's coming around, the power play's getting big goals, and they're going to be good 5-on-5.
Right.
I mean, that's been proven, so if they can win the specialty team battle, let's face it, they're going to win.
Okay. Last thing, on resiliency, how much does that affect the overall team knowing whatever the circumstances are, you think you can come back? And it's very unusual in hockey to be able to do this regularly, no matter what Coach Sutter said to me.
I don't think it's a conscious thing anymore. I think it's a subconscious thing. I think that it is ingrained in them. So it's... And again, it has to do with the foundation, the makeup, and why these players were selected to be in the position they are, why certain leaders are selected and to be around, and maybe you could have a more skilled player, but no, it's not going to help the whole as good. So that's where it is. I don't think the Kings, that as much as anyone, it's a cliche, one game at a time, one shift at a time, as much as any group of athletes I've been around, this team exudes that. They get behind in a game. I don't think they're thinking we can come back. They're just thinking it's 0-0. I'm going to go play the next shift.
Right.
They're not thinking we're behind by two. They're not thinking that. They're just thinking if I go and do what I'm supposed to do, when added up at the end, it's going to have success.
Last thing where we're at right now. How do you see this thing coming through?
Well, it's Chicago. And you can see it from Daryl. That's why, you know, it's tough on the athletes. You don't want to ever talk about the other team because it's, you know, hey, the Hawks are a spectacular team.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they've won two cups. If they won this year in the cap era, when, you know, teams are supposed to change over because once you have success, you can't afford the guys that got you success. Now the Kings are in that boat too. And if they could win, that would make it 2-3. And, you know, used to be 4- and 5-year dynasties. I think under the cap, you know, you're looking at probably shorter term. But both of these teams are grinding it out to get that. I know that when people come talk to me, it's always from a Kings perspective.
Right.
But the other team wants to win too. And the other team's pretty good.
Yeah.
And they are more skilled. And they're faster. And either the Kings have to find a way to play faster or slow them down. And so far, they've done a good job. So, and I even just being around this group of guys, if the Kings do win, and Justin Williams said it today, we want to earn the respect of everyone else in the league, and that's what they want to do. If they win, they'll win it respectfully, and I think there's no question about that.
By the way, there's only one team that has Jonathan Quick. That does help, right?
That helps, and I would say, to this point, he has still not stolen a game in the series.
No.
So
but he's done
he hasn't had to.
Right.
I mean, that third period in Game 3, is textbook.
Yep.
You say it all the time. We're not going to go back on our heels. We're going to attack. It never happens. You fall back on your heels. You hold on. Kitty bar the door. You win. No way. 18 shots in the third period by the Kings. That was a masterpiece. Only 20 minutes, but it was a masterpiece. I assume at one point or the other, if the Kings are going to win this series, Quick's going to have a 40-save game.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate the time.
My pleasure.